The book of Job is interesting. We know the story of Job. We know the trials of Job. What we have not spent a lot of time doing, and that's what we're trying to do in this Wednesday night class, is to see what his friends said. And so we were looking last week, and we finished up last week with Bildad's first speech back in chapter 8. Look in Job chapter 8. I don't want to spend much time there, but here's Bildad. He's the Shuhite. And he says, Job, why don't you shut up? That's not exactly what he says. He says, how long will you speak these things? And the words of your mouth are like a bag of wind. How comforting is that? Don't you wish you had friends that were that honest with you? And that's what they're saying. Job, just a bunch of hot air. And they're not saying shut up. The word shut up is not there. My mama used it all the time. I understand. Mamas today cannot say that. You know, do you say to children, would you please be quiet and I'll give you a lollipop? When my mother, you know, wanted me to shut up, she said, shut up or else. And I knew the or else part of all of that. But that's Job's friends. And they've come there evidently to comfort him. But as you look at these speeches, I'm not sure that they came to give comfort to him. He says, do you believe that the Almighty, in verse 3, he has perverted justice. Job, you keep saying you haven't done any, you haven't done wrong, that the suffering that you have does not come from personal wrong. Well, are you saying then that God's perverted judgment? No, I'm not saying God has perverted judgment at all. But let's get over to chapter 9, where Job begins to answer Bildad. And on the screen we've got the heading of this first section, these first 15 verses. Is Job praises God, and he knows that, but he's so perturbed. I want you to look at what he says. Verse 2, chapter 9, verse 2. I know it is so. How can a man be righteous before God? How holy is God? God is so holy, nobody can be just before God. If God wanted to find fault, God can find fault with every man on this earth. And Job is not saying, I have not sinned. In fact, he will say, I have not sinned. But what he will not say is, the reason I'm suffering is because of personal sin. Sometimes people, and it's Job's friends, believes that bad things only happen to bad people. I don't know where his friends have been, and I don't really understand why people would feel that way today. That if I just better, I never would have adversity in my life. That's a total failure to understand. And then he says in verse 3, God is so smart, if one wished to contend with him, he could not answer him 1 out of 1,000 times. You know what God's going to do to Job at the end of this book? When you get over to chapters, 38 and 39, near the end of the book, it's maybe 39 and 40. Job's going to sit down, God's going to sit Job down. Say, I got some questions I want to ask you. And he stops the mouth of Job and just shows what Job affirms in this passage. And that is, if you could answer 1 in 1,000 things, you know, that would be a remarkable thing. Now, I want you to look at the verbs that are used starting in verse 4, and we'll look through the next, I've got all the way through verse 10. There may be some after verse 10. Adjectives that Job uses to describe God. In verse 4, how does he describe God? What's wisdom? What's the difference in wisdom and knowledge? Yeah. I think Dave said it's one's used in the other, you know, and that's what have a lot of knowledge. Yeah, you know, I can do math, and most of the time I remember, I can remember the time when I'd go into another room, and I remember why I went in that room. You understand what I'm talking about? I mean, I'm sort of like the cowboy that says, I don't know if I found a lasso or lost my horse. But wisdom is the ability to use the knowledge that you have. And a whole, what's that expression? He's book smart. Is that you understand when I say that? He's book smart? Do you know anybody that's Bible smart? Same phrase. Quote a lot of verses, find a lot where a lot of things are in the Bible. You know,
them having the ability to put that in their lives. And so he says, God is wise. Verse 5, what does he do? What does he say? What quality does he give God? And these next several verses talk about pretty much the same quality. What's God? Verse 5, what is he? Just the first phrase. He does what? He removes mountains, and they do not know when he overturns them in his anger. Think about how upsetting an earthquake is to the people on the earth. And if you talk about personification and give life to that which is inanimate, think how it upsets the earth. Well, you know, what have I done? And all of a sudden, man, this whole, I'm trembling like this, and I'm flipped upside down and all the rest. And he says, the mountains aren't in control of this. The mountains move. Verse 6, he shakes the earth. I like verse 7. Who's in charge of making sure all the sun and moon and stars and the planets stay where they're supposed to be? He commands the sun and it does not rise. That ever happened? Was there ever a time there was darkness on this earth? Can you think of where that was? 3 hours of darkness when Jesus died. How could that happen? Some folks said, oh, it was an eclipse. An eclipse that lasts 3 hours? How did it happen? Oh, I know how it happened. And that's what Job was saying. No man can do that. You know, God is so wise, I can't answer questions. And one in 1,000 or something like that. He commands the sun and it does not rise. He seals off the stars. He alone, I want you to stop at that. Think about this. He spreads out the heavens. How wide are the heavens? You know, what's the greatest number of light years when people try to measure? I wish Jerry Pittman was here. Maybe some other folks who love the stars. What is the width of the universe in light years? Anybody know that? I used to know that. I'm going to say it. You know, is it 13 billion light years is the width of the universe? That's amazing. You ever think about how small the earth is compared to how amazing we read together John 3:16 Sunday morning? God so loved the world. Of all of the universe that he spread out right here happening on this little tiny speck of dust called earth. And he spreads it out. And Job recognized that and he makes the Bear, Orion, and the Pleiades. What's that? The Bear, the Orion, and Pleiades. What's that? Isn't that amazing that the constellations that we have that we are aware of, they were aware of. And so he makes all of these things. And verse 9, he does great things past finding out. Yes, wonderful without number. Are there some amazing things God's put in this universe that you just never can figure out? I don't know if this is of interest to you, but when things get colder, they contract. That's why you weigh less in the wintertime. Things, you know, they expand. You got these expansion joints on the highway and everything. By the way, Alan Fowle, my friend from New Zealand, told the time he came to the States several years ago and was driving down one of these concrete highways. And you know the little bumps that you have when he had this rental car and he took it back. He said, something's wrong with this car. Said it just go bump, bump, bump. All it was hitting all of these expansion joints and everything. Things do expand. Everything it contracts until it gets cold, as it gets colder. Except one thing. You take water and it does contract, contract, and contract. But when it hits about 34 degrees, something happens. It starts chemically, or the reaction is different. And all of a sudden, ice floats. So what? Well, what if I sank to the bottom? What if I sank to the bottom? Because if it kept contracting, it ought to sink to the bottom. Do you know what would happen? We'd live on an iceberg. Water freezes across the top of the ponds and the lakes and everything, and the life just goes on underneath that. I don't know if that kind of thing intrigues you like it does me, but isn't that remarkable that it would do that? Who would have ever thought about that? And when I think about that and things I really do not understand, you want to talk about the migration of birds? Isn't that amazing? You want to talk about those salmon? That when they're very small, they swim out toward the ocean, and as they prepare to die, they come back to the very place where they... You want to talk about that? You may not be aware of this. I'm aware of it because of the 10 years we spent in New Zealand. These eels that are freshwater eels that are in America, they have them in America, and they have them in Europe. There's a difference in them. Do you know where eels lay their eggs? The Sargasso Sea, out here in the Caribbean. And these eels that are hatched in the Sargasso Sea, European eels go back to Europe, and American eels go back to America. And whenever it's time for them to reproduce and everything, they all get back out here and they meet up out. Isn't that amazing? Job, you know, he does great things past finding out. And that's exactly where Job is in relationship to God. Starting about verse 14, he says, okay, he's so wise. How can I answer him? How can I answer him? Job says, for though I were righteous, I could not answer him. That's verse 15. I would beg mercy of my judge. You see, Job is not arrogant when he said, you know, I haven't sinned. Job is just saying, what's going on here? And his friends have got the answers, but they're a long way from having the answers. And Job, verse 17, God crushes me with a tempest and multiplies my wounds without cause. Job said, I don't know. But he says, I cannot deal with him. Verse 19, if it's a matter of strength, he's stronger than I am. And verse 20, he says, though I were righteous, my own mouth would condemn me. Though I were blameless, it would prove me perverse. I am blameless, yet I do not know myself. I despise my life. It is all one thing. Therefore, I say, he destroys the blameless and the wicked. Job is just begging his friends, why is this happening? And haven't we been there? You know, I'm trying to live it, and I'm trying to serve God. What's this all about? And Job's friends have the answer, except they have the wrong answer. And we pointed out that whenever you get to the end of the book of Job, God looks at his three friends and says, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, what they said is not true. So when you read the book of Job, don't quote Job. It'd be like quoting the devil in Genesis chapter 3, you shall not surely die. That's in the Bible, yeah, but who said it? And so his friends, sometimes I've seen individuals do that. In chapter 10, Job just gets more and more filled with despair. And I didn't put any particular notes down in chapter 10, but my soul loathes my life. I will give free course to my complaint. I will speak the bitterness of my soul. I will say to God, do not condemn me. Show me why you contend with me. We've been there. We've been there. And when you get to the end of the book of Job, Job may not have figured it out. We pointed out before that it's very, you know, there's no evidence at all that Job knows what happened in chapter 1 and chapter 2. There's no evidence. That's all that happens in heaven whenever the Lord said, "Have you considered my Job? My servant Job?" And who was it made that point in the class last week? Yeah, God knew about Job. God knows you. Maybe somebody made that point. It's so. Maybe that's where that point was made. God knows you. Or pardon me, God knows you, but the devil knows you too. And so the devil didn't say, "Job who?" He knew exactly who Job was. Look at verse 10. "Although you know that I am not wicked, and there's no one who can deliver from your hand." These are words spoken to God. And so Job is not saying, "I've never done anything wrong," but he just keeps saying, "I am not wicked. Your hands have made me," verse 8, "your hands have fashioned me an intricate unity, yet you would destroy me." How intricate is your body? You know, this evolutionary idea that, you know, if you have a part of your body that's useless, it body throws it away. You know, useless parts of the body. They used to think about appendix being that, and you know, all sorts of things used to be. Well, blood was useless, right? Abraham Lincoln died because he had bad blood. They bled him not to death, but they bled him to get bad blood out of him. And in his weakened condition, he died of influenza or some such thing like that. You know, I'm intricately made. Have you ever thought about the human eye? You think about the ability of the eye to focus instantly. Now, these modern cameras we've got, we don't live that. You remember those old cameras? They have to just to turn that just exactly just right and get it. And then you had depth of field in the old cameras and everything. Things up close would be out of focus. And then I'm not talking about being nearsighted. But you understand, we have instant. We focus here and look back there, and you focus there. And the amount of light, your eyes focus to that. And all of a sudden, on the back of your eyeball, there's something of light reflecting off of you, hitting the back of my eye, that the optic nerve grabs a hold of and sends a picture up to my brain that gives me a color representation of what came through the lens of my eyes. Intricate unity. And aren't you glad that your elbow from this point here down to your wrist is not as long as your leg? You'd starve to death. I'm intricately made. David says, "I'm wonderfully made." And we need to stand in all of that. He says, verse 10, "God, don't pour me out like milk and curdle me like cheese. Clothe me with skin and flesh and knit me together with bones and sinew. You've granted me life and favor, and your care has preserved my spirit. And these things you've hidden in your heart, I don't know what's going on. I know not. I know that this was with you. If I sin, you would mark me and would not acquit me of my iniquity. If I'm wicked, woe to me. Even if I'm righteous, I cannot even lift up my head. I'm full of disgrace. See my misery." Job does not say, "I've sinned." He's not going to lie about it. He's just saying, "What is it?" And man, oh, you got these friends. They're really, really helpful. And so verse 20, Job says, "Are not my days few? Cease. Leave me alone that I may take a little comfort. Before I go to the place from which I shall not return, to the land of darkness and the shadow of death, a land as dark as darkness itself, as the shadow of death without any order, where even the light is like darkness." Job, what's your view of the afterlife? That's why the Bible says he brought immortality into the light through the gospel. Or do you understand? This is the view that atheists have of death. Now, they may be atheists who believe in reincarnation or something like this. But whenever you read those last verses, the place from which I shall not return, a land of darkness and the shadow of death, a land as dark as darkness, itself as the shadow of death without any order where even the light is like darkness. That's where I'm headed. Wait a minute. The shadow of death? Is that phrase somewhere else in the Bible? Similar to that? Though I walk through the valley of what? The shadow of death. I will fear no evil because you're with me. That's where you are without Psalms 23. Wow. Zophar. He answered and said, Job, I just can't keep quiet. Should not the multitude of words be answered, saying, your words? And should a man full of talk be vindicated? The other one called him a bag of wind. And this one says, you're a man full of talk. Verse 3, how does he describe his talk? What's the adjective there? Chapter 11, verse 3 is where I am. Chapter 11, verse 3. I didn't say I'd change chapters. I should have mentioned that. Bag of wind, multitude of words, full of talk, and it's all empty. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I have become, not the language used here, but similar language, a clanging cymbal. That's all I am. And while Job is speaking to them the words of life, the words they present are just absolutely remarkable. Verse 5. Zophar says, okay, Job, you keep asking, what have you done? God knows what you've done. If God would speak and open his lips against you, he would show you the secrets of wisdom, for they would double your prudence. Therefore, know that God exacts from you less than what you deserve. Wow, isn't that comforting? How bad off is Job? Boils from where? The top of his head to the sole of his feet over all of his body. Where are you going to sit? Where are you going to stand? You going to lay down? Front, back? Sole of your feet covered with boils? Stand on your head? No. But you deserve double that. You deserve double that. Verse 7, I've underlined in verse 7, can you search out the deep things of God? Can you find out the limits of the Almighty? They are higher than heavens. What can you do? Deeper than Sheol, what can you know? Their measure is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. If he passes by, imprisons, and gathers to judgment, then who can hinder him? Job, the Almighty God is dealing with you, and you have no, there's nothing you can do except just stand there and take it and acknowledge your sin. Verse 12, you got friends that feel this way about you? How's he described in verse 12? An empty-headed man. Oh, man, I love you. I love my friends. I love my friends. He's going to say, Job's going to say a little bit later, you are miserable comforters. You know what that is? You're in the hospital and you've got, the doctor comes in and said, you're going to have an operation, going to have your gallbladder come out. And somebody comes, oh, you got your gallbladder out? My uncle had that same thing and he died on the operating table. People do that, don't they? Yeah, yeah. I've had four cousins to die of cancer. You got cancer? And that's where his friends are. And Job says, look, I'm innocent. Not that I'm sinless. Not that I'm sinless. But I'm innocent. And they said, you are, how you like this? Verse 12, you're a donkey's colt that's been born as a man. We have that expression in English. And I'm not going to say that word because but the first part is Jack, and if you can figure out the rest of it, maybe I've got Jack's last name. But that's what he says. You're a donkey. You're a wild donkey. And if iniquity were in your hand and you put it far away, that's in verse 14. If iniquity were in your hand and you put it far away and would not let wickedness dwell in your tents. Now, Job, if you just repent, then you could lift up your face without spot. Yes, you could be steadfast and not fear. But Job, your face is covered with boils. And every time I look at you, all I can see on every one of those boils is Job has really, really sinned. Miserable comforters you are in relationship to the eyes, in relationship to helping him. The last verse of the chapter. The eyes of the wicked will fail, and they shall not escape, and their hope, the loss of life. Best thing an evil man can do is die. Well, since we know about what happens after death, and so Job, it's just the darkness. It's the darkness, and Job talked about that darkness that's on the other side. So the best thing that can happen for the wicked is died. And so I sort of agree with you, Job. You'd be better off if you was dead. Chapter 12. Job says, I've got a brain. I've got some sense. You are the, verse 2, you are the people and wisdom will die with you. I think that's sarcasm. Mm-hmm. I have understanding as well as you. I am not inferior to you. Indeed, who does not know such things as this? I am one mocked by his friends, who called on God, and he answered him, the just and the blameless, who is ridiculed. A lamp is despised, and the thought of one who is at ease doesn't need the lamp. It is made ready for those whose feet slip. So he says, Job says in verse 7, ask the beast and they will teach you, and the birds of the air and they will tell you, or speak to the earth and it will teach you, and the fish of the seas will explain it to you. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this, and whose hand is the life of every living thing? Job is saying God is on a throne. He's not cursing God and dying. He's just simply saying, I cannot figure out what's going on. Maybe the birds and the beast, and maybe they understand these things, but I cannot figure it out. And I know God has done this because in his hand is the life of every living thing. You want to underline that, every living thing? One of the Psalms, one of my favorite Psalms, David writes about that lion that roars in the middle of the night. And he says, that lion is praying to God for food. And then he says, go down to the ocean. And in the ocean is all of this life. How much life is there in the ocean? And in that psalm, David says, and God feeds every fish in the sea. Isn't that remarkable? God gives life. David in that psalm looks at the mountain brooks. And he said, you know why he put those there? Because in his creation, there are these wild beasts that need water. And God gives them water. And in that psalm, he says, and he gives the grass, the prairies, as it were, so the animals could have food to eat. And he talks about the trees of Lebanon. And we know enough about birds to know that different birds build their nests of different kinds of material and at different heights. And I know this is not the right word. I'm not a birdologist, but I read somewhere about that you could tell everything there is about birds. Here are these birds that need the tallest trees where to place their nest. And guess what God does? He puts those trees up there for the birds. And the mountainsides? David says, those cliffs that are there are for the mountain goats. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. And that's what Job is saying. Verse 13, with him are wisdom and strength. He has counsel and understanding. But if God breaks a thing down, it cannot be rebuilt. We talked about the qualities of God. He's wise and he moves the mountains and he places the mountains. And he says, if God breaks the things down, it cannot be rebuilt. If he imprisons a man, there can be no release. If he withholds the water, they dry up and he sends them out in the overwhelmed earth. With him are strength and prudence. The deceived and the deceiver of his, he leads counselors away plundered and makes fools of the judges. He leads counselors away plundered. Why? Man's not nearly as smart as he thinks he is. Some have not heard of this illustration. I love telling this illustration about people who are so educated. They get beyond their smarts. A group of chemical engineers were sitting in a room devising something that would be a universal solvent. Some things dissolve in water, some in acid. Sometimes, you know, you just pour things on thing and it just dissolves. And, you know, and they said, if we could just make a universal solvent, man, it would just be great. And the janitor came into the room while they were discussing this, and he's just emptying the trash that's in there. And he finally says, could I ask you a question? When you make that universal solvent, what's going to keep it in? That's not bad, is it? He leads the way the counselors and they're plundered. He makes fools of judges. Well, we make judges fools too sometimes, don't we? We make fools judges also. God's powerful. He looses the bands of the kings. Verse 19, he leads princesses away plundered. He deprives the trusted ones of speech. Verse 20, he pours contempt on the princes and disarms the mighty. He undercovers the deep things out of the darkness. Verse 22, and brings the shadow of death to light. He makes nations great and destroys them. He enlarges nations and he guides them. And he takes away the understanding of the chiefs of the people of the earth and makes them wander in pathless wilderness. How helpless is man in the presence of God? Can we talk about Irma, if Irma had really come to visit us? You know, category 5. Well, let's just all go to bed and let's sleep. Everything will be all right in the morning. Not in the presence of the Almighty. And see, part of this that I'm enjoying in studying these speeches is not the mockery of the friends that mock Job. It's Job's understanding of God. I think Job's understanding of God is unbelievably remarkable. And it gives you the understanding of God revealing Himself in ways that we may not be sure of. Verse 24 and 25, He takes away the understanding of the chiefs of the people of the earth and makes them wander in a pathless wilderness. They grope in the dark without light, and He makes them stagger like a drunk man. And that's what happens. In the presence of the Almighty. Chapter 13, Job continues to say, My eyes have seen all of this. My ears have heard and understood it. What you know, I also know. I am not inferior to you. He's going to say this a second time, I think. He may have said it in the previous chapter. I'm just as smart as you are. And you're here trying to tell me from your own wisdom of things that you understand when you don't understand what I know. It's not that I have done something evil. Look at verse 4. You are forgers of lies. You are worthless doctors. You ever been to one of those? Worthless doctors. Yeah. You know, and that's what he says they are. Will you, verse 7, will you speak wickedly for God? Verse 8, will you show partiality for Him? Look in verse 12. Your platitudes, oh, now He's praising us. Your platitudes are proverbs of ashes. Why do I take, verse 14, why do I take my flesh and my teeth and put my life in my hands? Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. And that's what faith does. When there's no answer about adversity, and when we ask the question why, and we don't know the answer to why, what do you say? I still trust God. I don't understand it, but even if He took my life, I will trust Him. Even so, I will defend my own ways before Him. Verse 18, I have prepared my case. I know that I shall be vindicated. Who is he that will contend with me? If now I hold my tongue, I perish. But I'm going here to make my case before you. Verse 23, we've got to do this because the bell's ringing, having to leave some verses out. How many are my iniquities and sins? Make me known my transgressions and my sins. So a little bit later, Job's going to say, here's what I've done when I've seen sick people. Here's what I've done when there have been widows. Job's going to say, here is my life. Tell me where I've not practiced pure and undefiled religion. I like what he says in verse 26. You write bitter things against me. That's something new. I don't know where they wrote it. Don't know how they wrote it. And that may be a figurative use as the word write. It just doesn't fit here. And it jumps out at me whenever he says, you're writing bitter things. And you put my feet in the stocks and watch closely all my paths. He set a limit for the soles of my feet. Man decays like a rotten thing, like a garment that's moth-eaten. That's true. It is true, isn't it? From the moment you die, born, you start dying. Your body repairs itself. But the older it gets, the longer it takes you to get over aches and pains. When I was a kid, I'd scratch myself. And a couple of days, it was gone. I scratch myself right now. You ever get a bruise on your arm and everything? and get all of that. And then you're out working in the yard and you scratch the bruise. You know what I'm talking about? 2 months. That may be an exaggeration. That's what life is. That's what life is without God. I want you to think about this. Two views of life in these 13 chapters that we've covered. One is as wrong as it can be. But it is the view of people who talk about religious things who don't know what they're talking about. That's one view of it. And the other is that individual who is trying to find out what God has, what's happening in Job's life. Here's the interesting thing. Because you have the New Testament, you could have helped Job. What does adversity do for us? Job in chapter 42 is a different man from Job in chapter 2. And we could have helped Job, but not because we're smart. We're physicians of no values. But because of the revelation of the will of God. That's it. We didn't get through chapter 14. Now I'm 2 chapters behind, okay? Next week we'll try to cover 7 chapters. I don't know whether we'll make it or not.